Hello, Dan. Hello, Dan. Am I on? What the hell's this? Hello? Is this me now? Jesus Christ. All right. Hold on. Shut up. Listen. You people are annoying, okay? It's really hard to wake up to a bunch of opera-ignorant people making fun of the opera star's hair and explaining that their face has probably seen more ass than a pod show employee. I don't know that I appreciate that very much. Anyway. Yes, I took my Wellbutrin. But no, I haven't had my green tea. And yes, I had my espresso, but I need more. What did you all do? What did you do for the show today? Huh? Did you put your fucking makeup on? Huh? What did you do? What did you do? You tuned in. Well, there's no tuner. So you already flunked that part. There's no tuner. It's the internet. There's no tuner. Jesus Christ. There's a tuner if you're broadcasting, you fuckface. I left my dirty dick in my stinky panties. Let's go back and look at some of the chat room. It looks like people were a little ornery. Well, somebody, a AAM Mark, skipped work today for this show. That I appreciate. Good girl. All right, let's go back through the chat room. Good morning, good morning. That's meaningless. Let's see. Now, what is this? Somebody was talking about the working class. I missed something. What's going on with the working class versus the middle class? I missed. I caught part of this, and then what's happening there? Oh, Christ. Hold on. First of all, I need somebody to Skype me to help read the chat room. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. I see Bicycle Mark is there. He could do it. In fact, Bicycle Mark, aren't you? Oh, no, we already did that. But anyway, you could still do it. I don't know. Just call. You have my number. It's Madge Weinstein on the Skype. Oh, I got some voicemail messages that I'm going to play. I don't know if there's anything on here. Probably not. Oh, these are just people suck ass. Oh, this is from... Oh, that sucks. Oh, these are just people that called. Anyway, I don't give a fuck. I have got plenty of things to talk about. Let's just see here. So today's Monday. Where's Trotsky? Well, that's a good question. Well, chances are he's in the damn house. Oh, hold on. Hold on.
Can you hear me?
Well, hold on, Chris. Let me switch you to the internet and stuff. Yes, Chris, I hear you.
Okay, I'll read from the chat room.
Thank you. Are people, is it just me or are people extraordinarily stupid today?
Oh, everyone's just full of excitement for your program today. For your grum today, excuse me.
Chris, what was this you're talking about middle class people or rich upper class people defending working people or something? I didn't quite read that.
I wasn't talking about that. I was just listening to a lecture by Michael Parenti before your show came on, and I started typing in stuff he was talking about. About the working class having invented things while the ruling class hasn't given us much, and he corrected everybody. He said, no, the ruling class has given us plenty. They've given us nerve gas and loyalty oaths and child labor. And
waterboarding?
Waterboarding, nuclear bombs, and they've given us Laura Bush.
And her retarded husband.
Yeah.
All right, listen, so what about, that brings up a good waterboarding. Oh, that's hysterical. Waterboarding. That's what happens when you pull out. You get blue balls if you're a man in the glory holes. Listen. So, about this middle class thing, this is starting to really irritate me. It's irritated me for a while, but it's especially irritating me now that I remember to talk about it. But this one thing, and I don't know if Obama's doing this or not, but everything Hillary is talking about, it's middle class. Like, she's only addressing the middle class. Like, middle class this, middle class that, we're going to help the middle class. Like, how is that any better from, you know, Reagan or Bush only helping the ruling class or the upper class? You know, do we really need a president that's only really interested in one class, the class that's going to get her elected?
No, it's language, it's code, because she can't say working class, which is what most people in this country are. There's a very small section that could be termed middle class, like some professionals, doctors and lawyers of a certain income level. But most people are working class. And she can't come out and say that because she's financed by the ruling class, and they don't want to hear any talk about working class or anything approaching giving workers rights or giving people that work for a living and any more money. So she masks it with talk about the middle class, but it's all empty, you know, noise.
You don't think she means that? So if it's really working class, that's good, right? That means she wants to help the working class. Right.
Yeah, but people in that level want to avoid even the phrase working class, because that hints that there's a class division in the country, that there are people that work to keep this system running, to keep people at the top as comfortable as they are, and they want to avoid any discussion of that whatsoever. So you saw, like, Edwards didn't get he barely got any kind of media coverage in this country, and he was talking
about
a lot about poverty. Yeah.
Well, that brings up another point I wanted to talk about, because, you know, I go on the Twitter sometimes, and one of the reasons I do things on the internet is to annoy myself by people that are ignorant and or just plain different from me or plain retarded. And I want to figure out a retarded whore today. Now, let's go to the Twitter. I got to hope I can remember her name. It's not Mikey Pod, but Mikey Pod is the person that linked to her. So first I'm going to go to Mikey Pod. Happy birthday, Yoko Ono. Do I have to get my goddamn mask out? That was my imitation of a Yoko Ono song.
Yoko Ono is suing an independent musician whose first name is Lennon currently because she doesn't want her to use her own name for music.
Excuse
me? That's what Yoko Ono's doing on her birthday today.
What, excuse me? What,
there's
excuse
a,
me?
There's a singer, a female singer in the country. Her first name is Lennon, and she performs underneath that name, and Yoko Ono is currently suing her for trademark infringement.
Oh, well, I think that's right in line with Yoko Ono's peace philosophy, don't you?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
God, see, this system will fucking turn anybody into an asshole. It really will. Well, they're taking mine, so I got to take theirs. Somebody's suing me, so I got to sue somebody else. You know, I'm a douchebag, so am I. All right, so this is a woman, okay? First of all, her name is Food Philosophy, and she is the partner of, I believe, could be wrong. Hi, sweetie. Come on. She's the bottom, I believe, of the bottom. I think she's the partner in the show of Food Philosophy, Chef Bottom's show, and I'm not criticizing the show at all, the food show. I'm criticizing this woman, and actually just trying to. I find her a good case study in retardation, to tell you the truth, and I'm sure she'll disagree with me and be completely incapable of explaining why she feels this way, because it's completely baseless. But who knows? So she writes, this woman, like, she sounds like she's a bit of an libertarian, Republican. I don't know what you label her. I don't
like Adam Curry, Ron Palsy. Suffers from Ron Palsy.
Right, except I don't think she's stoned 24 hours a day.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. Poignant example of government. Well, no, wait. Okay, so she thinks that government shouldn't do anything to help healthcare, that healthcare should be completely independent and private. And in other words, it's doing so great now. Let's see. But one of the things she said, fuck. What America needs, she writes, more than anything else is a return to self-responsibility, not more nanny state. But there's something I really like what she says. And then Mikey Pod says, or then she says to Mikey Pod, what makes you think the government is going to make healthcare better? They are part of the reason it's so fucked up now. And let's see. And then Mikey Pod says, I don't know what he said because I'm not going to look at it, but it's in reply. And she goes, well, it is. When I can afford health, she doesn't have insurance, right? So he's asking her about the fact that she doesn't have insurance herself, and she's defending private insurance and no single-payer system. Now, this is where she's retarded. She doesn't have insurance herself, yet she staunchly defends the right of businesses to not give people insurance or something. I don't know.
That's the goal of the propaganda we live in. That's the goal of the people at the top. They want us to internalize all this bullshit because the people at the top would never tolerate this kind of nonsense. They don't believe this stuff themselves, but they get people that are poor and don't have anything to actually to spew stuff like that. That's totally against themselves, totally against their own interests. And
right.
It sounds like what she was writing just sounds like a lot of almost bumper sticker slogans that are right-wing talking points in this country.
Right.
I don't understand how they can – right now we have basically outside of a little bit of Medicare and Medicaid, we have that private health care system, and it's a complete disaster. And she doesn't have health care. There's an example of it. So why is her solution going even further towards this free market solution? That doesn't make any sense on its face. And yet, when you try and point that out to them, I think, like, when you spoke to that school teacher in Indiana, it's like talking to a wall. She thinks Hillary Clinton is a socialist. It's like you're fighting against this belief. What can you say?
Right, right. Yeah, I wish I had better prepared for this, because it was really an ignorant thing. Maybe I need more caffeine, but... So she writes, what makes you think... Oh, wait, he asks her about why don't you, but you don't have health care. Isn't this kind of like retarded of you to say that? And she says, well, it is, but when I can afford it, I'll get it. But costs are so high from government/corporate corruption, I actually feel bad for doctors. Right? So she's saying she understands that costs are high because of government and corporate corruption. This is her this is what she's postulating. Now, if let's say it's half and half, let's give her the benefit of the doubt, which I don't think it is. I mean, if you look at who's more corrupt, the corporations who are not at all regulated. I mean, I've worked in healthcare before. Medicare and Medicaid pay as they are told to pay. They don't break their laws in general. They're much more likely to have the people. When there's Medicare fraud, it's usually the hospital or the doctor that's doing the fraud. And even that isn't that common. But what she's saying is she admits that there's government and corporate corruption in healthcare. But she's only saying that the reason... that healthcare is a problem is because of the government corruption. She doesn't acknowledge the fact that the corporate corruption is part of the problem. I mean, this doesn't even make sense. She's talking out her ass, and she doesn't have healthcare insurance herself. So what on earth is it that can, I mean, what kind of a weird ass, like, capitalist pride do you have that says, well, I don't have health insurance? I mean, what about all these people that need, a lot of people get hip replacements. So what do the 50 million people that are uninsured do? Walk around without hips?
I don't know anything about this one, but it sounds like she's not being very specific in what she's arguing here. She's saying, yes, there's government and corporate corruption. Okay, that exists, but that doesn't tell you anything about this specific issue. It sounds like a lot of people, she's mixing together a lot of bullshit she hears in the media and using that as a substitute for an informed opinion.
Right.
Someone in the chat room, Red Monkey, says, why do right-wing people say that they want less government but then depend on government for tax breaks and financial gain more than others? Well, that's part of this. That's the whole point. They want government that benefits them. They want a system that – they want the benefits to themselves. But anything that takes away – power from them, that gives workers health care, gives them a fair wage, protects their wages, protects the environment. Anything that they see is in any way threatening their power, that's the government they don't want. And so what they've done over the last 30 to 40 years is tried to convince everyone in this country that the term government means all of these bad things, when really government is just a neutral tool. It can be used for good and bad depending on what kind of person you are and what background you're from and how you view good and bad. So government can be used to help a lot of people in this country. Right now, it's only being used to help the very wealthy. And they spend a lot of their resources and money convincing everyone else in this country that government can do no good of any kind for anyone. And so you have a woman like this saying, well, the government's corrupt, the government's done all this. She probably doesn't know anything about specific programs or what's possible, or especially what's possible in other countries as far as healthcare.
Well, she knows a lot about cooking.
Well, eating, I would imagine. I'm not sure. I don't really know. A lot of people on the internet tend to eat a lot, as we've seen.
Right.
Eating and sitting, you know, sedentary lifestyle.
Two things I'm pretty sure she does. So she writes, so Mikey Pod says to her, you know, but I'm tired of people, you know, only wanting in this. He says this in this country, people only seem to be out for themselves. They're not out to help others. And she writes at Mikey Pod, but we is made up of me, me and me. If you don't put me first, who will? Then her next tweet is now on to happier things. Like making Thai beef curry for dinner, smiley face. I haven't posted this many tweets in ages. Morning, Twitter peeps. That's poetry.
Well, I would suggest you send her a seismic invite. It reminds me of a lot of things I hear. The Republicans for the last maybe 10 or 15 years have been chanting endlessly this concept of personal responsibility, personal responsibility, personal responsibility. They said that over and over again. And that sounds great. Yeah, everybody should be responsible for themselves. But what that really means is everybody's on your own. You shouldn't work together. You shouldn't try and cooperate. And you know what? And fuck you if you want to. If you fail, it's your own fault. It's not a system that's been totally engineered and designed against you. Go ahead.
Well, and that also, the thing that's really ridiculous about that is that in this country, legally, and a lot of people don't know this, corporations are considered people. Legally, they have the rights as people. So if individuals are responsible for themselves, why aren't corporations responsible for themselves? How come BP, for example, is allowed to pollute Lake Michigan unless somebody in the Chicago Tribune happens to find out about it? You know, how come these electric companies in California are allowed to pollute, you know, the water until children get cancers and 17 penises or whatever, you know?
Well, that's very rarely talked about in the media outside of that specific issue. Yeah, there you go. Most people don't hear about this stuff. Most people don't know about it. Instead, what they're told is personal responsibility, personal responsibility. Right. And then the news shows them examples of maybe some individual workers who have done something like slack off on the job on a given day or something. It's all about information, what people are being told, what they're being informed with, and what they fill their minds with, and then their beliefs are based on it. So if they're just based on all this nonsense, well, then that's what you're going to get.
Okay, I want to, and speaking of personal responsibility, hi, Carla. Carla from the Rimmer Girls with their big old titties. Anyway, two things. First of all, I want to read the comment that sparked me off on food philosophy. The comment she wrote, which sparked this off in my mind, was, the U.S. should not have national health care, all caps. That's coming from an anti-socialist, non-insured capitalist. I'll pay my own way. Retard. I mean, that's just
pay
stupid.
Your own way.
So she's admitting that Americans are out for me, 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 and me. But she's not aiming after me. She's out to help corporations, and she doesn't even fucking know it. Okay. Then the other thing is that I wanted to mention, aside from there's way more retardation. Of course, national health care, we could be like the UK, where you get to wait 6 months for a new hip. Please. /rant. So in the UK, can you tell me, is that true? Do you have to wait 6 months for a new hip? We have people in the UK listening.
Isn't someone in here, Mindcaster or Straight Chris? Somebody, one of you is from living in the UK in the chat room?
Do you think has no problem with the NHS? Are you British? Are you living in Britain? Are you a British citizen? Do you think? Mindcaster's in Amsterdam. Does it take 6 months in Amsterdam where they have socialized medicine to get a new hip? Mindcaster. Okay.
And how often in America, if you have privatized health care, can you walk in on the same day and demand a new hip?
Right.
Of course it's fucking waiting.
I need
involved.
A new vagina. I need a new vagina.
What is Miss Taffy? You're not in Canada. What do you mean not in Canada? 4 months for an MRI in
straight
Canada.
Straight Chris says it's true. Yes, my mom's partner had a hip replacement, no problem. Oh, so that means she didn't have to wait 6 months?
Were they operations that were life-threatening? Did they have to get them immediately? Did people die?
In any case, there's still a compromise. And let's just say it's true, you have to wait 6 months for a new hip. The thing is, a lot of people don't understand that healthcare is a... you cannot look at it as just about the individual because diseases spread. Diseases spread by sputum, by, you know, other blood-borne pathogens, sputum. And I like saying sputum and just airborne, just general airborne particles. So if somebody doesn't get the health care they need, that means some rich person who can afford it is going to get sick too. I mean, so from a communal aspect, we are, I mean, I think a lot of like conservatives don't even accept the fact that we are a species. I mean, it's complete denial of humanity, but this is one thing I wanted to read that's unrelated, but it goes back to this, you know, this ridiculous that's going on today. You know, you hear all about the savings and loan. The economy's at its knees. Every day you hear about another loan industry completely falling apart, like student loans, like the, what was that thing? All the homes and the Fannie Mae and the Fannie Black and the Connie Lingus and all that. Well, look, so, but the point I've been trying to make for a while is that this shit's still going on today. You know, who's ever in Washington that caused all this shit in the first place is still doing it. It's not over. So look at this. I got this in the mail the other day, Friday, from Working Assets, which is supposedly this liberal phone company, and I don't use them. This liberal phone company that gives, you know, part of their money, the money you spend on the phone, to, you know, people that are starving and black with no hair or something. Now, okay, it says every time you use your card to make a retail purchase, Working Assets will donate 10 cents to nonprofits groups working for peace, human rights, economic justice emphasized here by me, education and the environment. Now, look at what this is. Now, what this letter is for is nothing to do with credit, nothing to do with everything to do with credit, nothing to do with phone. They're offering me, customer Madge Weinstein, a credit line. They're offering me a credit card on this piece of paper. Credit line may be as high as $100,000. Annual percentage rate, 0% APR for cash advance checks and balance transfers until April 2009. Okay? They're offering me a 0% interest rate for a year. And then what happens after that?
Let's but Working Assets gives you free Ben & Jerry's ice cream, Red Monkey says. So there is that. You can actually gain weight while spending more money.
That's fantastic.
I think it says that.
Yeah, so let's see what the interest rate is. My point is that this is the same thing. Now, if you can't pay your mortgage and then somebody sends you this, wow, I can get $100,000 or let's say $50,000, you know, because that's the maximum. $50,000 in credit, I can pay my mortgage for a year. I can live for a year. And then in a year, you're in the hole to China, and I assume this is like the rest of the rates with something like 29.99%. It goes up to 30% interest. I mean, when I was a little girl, that was considered loan sharking. That was illegal. 30% interest. So they advertise 0%, and then you go in the hole to pay your mortgage, and then you have a 30% interest rate. And then this person, if I do it, again, defaults on the loan, and an entire industry collapses. You see, this stuff is going on today. So you have all these people looking back at the loan industry and all these housing. How could we have let this happen? Well, it's fucking happening still, you fucking idiots. It's happening right fucking now because nobody stopped it. People are still giving out these loans, unsecured loans for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Nobody's going to be able to pay them back. I don't understand the financial reasons why people do it because it doesn't make any goddamn sense. And I got two of those in one day from completely different companies. Two of those. Just on Friday. What the fuck's going on? Somebody tell me.
We're borrowing money from China so that everybody can get a $600 check, as P&S Noah reminds us.
Yeah. Thank you. That's not P&S Noah. That's Cher. Cher doesn't like to...
Oh, sorry, Cher. My apologies.
Cher, why don't you feel free to call in? I could use a little bit of posing.
How?
I was watching this yoga show this morning, but I couldn't go along with it. It was too fast. They said, okay, stand up. Time to do some yoga. Bend over. It was called, it was on the Oxygen channel, on Oprah's channel. It was called, like, Yoga Stinger. But seriously, what? I don't understand the financial mechanism. Why? How does that work? Like, how does Working Assets benefit by getting people into debt? Meanwhile, in the letter, claiming that they're out, they're giving 10 cents of your unsecured debt to what? The World Bank? I mean, who are these economic funds that help are out for world equality? Is that who it is? You know, that you borrow money so that you can give 10% to the World Bank so they can bribe some Bangladesh. Well, Bangladesh is probably rich by now. But some third world country into, like, taking our money so that we can force them to kill their next insurgent group because they want to have an election? I don't understand it. $600.
Ustream 22858 says America's dug a major hole because they are so anti-socialist, it's going to be really hard to convince them to get universal health care. Yeah, that's the result of 60 plus years of anti-communist bullshit. Anything that's to the left of Genghis Khan is regarded as Joseph Stalin, and we have to destroy it. A totally propagandized nation. Maybe after the baby boomers die off and another generation moves on, maybe it'll start to lessen. But right now, the baby boomers, by and large, aside from what some of them did in the 60s, have just completely destroyed everything in this country. Just completely devastated everything.
Well, and I've been saying for years, too, that when the baby boomers get old and start dying and need insurance, that's when we'll have national insurance. And it looks like that's, I still stand by that. I still think that's the way it's going. I think the Clintons, the first baby boomer president, will get us insurance. And I'm assuming that she's going to be president. I don't buy any of this crap about Obama. I think that's just hype to keep the election going. I just don't. She won all those big states, and if she wins Texas, it's over. I don't think it's as close as they like to say. I mean, I could be totally wrong. But let's just say, and I'm not for Hillary. It doesn't matter. But my point is that she is a baby boomer. Her generation is the first baby boomer president. And her husband, I mean. God, I'm just so brain dead today. So they'll get us national health care because it's the me generation. It's all about them. You know, when they were kids and they wanted to smoke drugs, it was all about them being able to get their fucking drugs. Then in the 80s, it was all about them being able to invest money and make lots of money and be assholes. It's all about them. Oh, now they're getting old and they need care from the government again, so it's all about them. So now we need health insurance. Douches.
Red Monkey disagrees.
Well, please elaborate.
I don't know.
Listen, while he elaborates, Chris, can you give some spiel? I got to get some tea going.
I don't know. I don't know about Hillary and Obama. I'm really reluctant to support Hillary.
Keep
Hillary
talking.
Because of what her husband did while in office, because her husband specifically, among all the many things he did, the killing of welfare, the biggest thing to me was that he went along with the NAFTA agreement, signed that into law, which totally undercut and totally destroyed not only the labor movement in this country, the working class, really, really destroyed them. It also, in effect, took away the industrial base we had in this country. There's nothing of value being produced here, really. There's no substance to what's going on in this country. And then he went along with the telecommunications deregulation, which has resulted in the giant media mergers and the media companies, which have done nothing but attack and destroy anything remotely progressive, liberal, or what you might be called democratic socialist. So I don't think Hillary's going to stray too far from her husband. I've looked at the potential list of advisors and cabinet members she has lined up. They seem to all come from his circle of power that was there. But as far as Obama, I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope. I've been following intensely the politics for probably 10 or 15 years at this point, and I'm to the point where I'm completely burned out. I really don't care about this election. I've almost written it off entirely because I think both of them are totally compromised, totally don't care, totally really disconnected from anything that's going to improve my life or the lives of the people I see on a daily basis in any substantial way. And, Madge has got a...
Look at this.
Is that heated?
It's crema. It's espresso. Yeah, it's fresh. But look at the cream. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
Did that come out of you?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Indirectly.
Mindcaster says Web 2.0. Move our outmoded culture production. What kind of beans you flicking there, Madge?
Web 2.0.
Red Monkey.
Web 2.0, I'm afraid, is in full burst mode. And I don't mean that... I don't mean that in the computer analogy sense. It's bad. It's real bad right now. Nobody's talking about it. Robert Scoble's cry, and he's going to, Robert, the Scobalizer, is going to be on the show Wednesday talking about how he teared up looking at some Microsoft product because he so desperately wants his job back.
But, he would have orgasmed, but he can no longer get erections because of the weight in his stomach.
Oh, no, it's totally on his prostate. It's all over. Oh, by the way, Cher. Donald Rumsfeld was president of this company when they invented this, by the way. That's so great. Cher, fucking bitch, is doing yoga again. Look, Cher, I'm using the goddamn blue stuff, like you said. Skip the pink. Listen, what did Red Monkey say? Well, I mean, I didn't get to see that. What was he disagreeing with? I like Red Monkey.
I don't know. It's too far along. I can't figure out. Red Monkey, retype it, whatever you
say. You know, you can always call in if you want Red Monkey, or you can explain it here, whatever. I like he. He's a very, very nice person. One of my famous listeners. You know, when Gussie was in the hospital, he sent me a huge 5-tier tower of candy to the hospital room. We used it to bribe the nurses. No, I don't have to stop. Why should I stop?
Were there heavy nurses? Really heavy nurses?
Yeah. Share, this stuff is horrible. What are you doing to me? Oh, God, you ruined it. You ruined my coffee, Cher, you dumb fucking senile old bitch. Cher's a whore. Ooh, it's bad. Cher says, how? Great comeback, Cher, you fucking dumbass bitch.
How?
Hillary will never dismantle pharma and insurance industry.
I don't think she will either. Yeah.
I'm not saying... Oh, you mean industry meaning corporate. But it's possible to to get health care for everybody without doing that, I think. I mean, there's possible... It's not all or nothing. It's not single payer or nothing. But it's true what they talk about in Democracy Now, that when polled, although I feel polls are completely meaningless at the moment because they're always wrong, but when polled, according to Democracy Now, most Americans do prefer a single payer system. Carla, did you meet Hillary? I saw pictures on your Flickr where you were at a Hillary Clinton rally. Did you meet her? No, you didn't.
Did you taste her?
Did you taste her? I didn't say, did you eat her?
Sorry.
With your dad, Sid. What are we talking about, your dad's? You were on acid? Is that code? She was on acid. My dad, Sid. You're with your dad, the acid. Your dad met her. Okay. The other question for Carla is, Carla, you had these really cute posters emphasizing her cheekbones. Did you make those posters, or did they get, or did the Hillary campaign people give those to you and tell you to hold it up? I'm waiting. I can't use dinner.
Hillary fan number 699.
A fan of Hillary did. So somebody else made the sign that Carla...
The Hillary clip.
Are you sure that person... But how do we know that person wasn't associated with the campaign? Because I've been told that both all... And I'm not criticizing Hillary as opposed to Obama here, because they both do it, but that the campaign people make a lot of the signs you see at the rallies. Okay. Anyway, it was a cute sign. I like the cheekbones. Okay. Where are we?
How?
She knew the guy. So you know that he made it himself? Carla? Yeah, okay.
Good Carla, can you call in?
Carla also... Yeah, why don't you call in, Carla? Madge Weinstein on Skype. Carla has a show called The Room of Girls. Carla, you're a hairdresser, but your boyfriend needs a haircut. I'm sorry to say, but it's true. I didn't put it on the Flickr because I didn't want to embarrass him, but I have a feeling it's just you now. He needs a haircut, honey. Get him a haircut. You're a hairdresser, for Christ's sake. Okay? Just between us, Kyla. God, I love when my face looks extremely ugly like this. Okay? Is that okay?
Teeth. Gums. Lips.
Ah, lips.
Carla, did your dad see Hillary's thighs? Call in.
A little nugget. Last year, a Dutch politician ran for election based on the American model. It was incredibly stupid, transparent, and populist, idiotic. 1 year later, she's nowhere. Well, thank God for small miracles. Yes, lol, hold on. Okay, I think she's going to call in. Madge Weinstein on Skype, no space. Carla, and let me know if it's not working, because sometimes it doesn't show up if you're not on my thingy. What?
Am wants to know, what do you mean when your face looks like that?
That is a compliment. Seriously, I like that. You mean my face looks like this all the time? That'd be great. Hello. I'm a whore. Shout level increases if you megaphone under... What the fuck? Who is Bug Chaser? Does the audience know what a Bug Chaser is? Do you know what a bug chaser is? This is gay code.
You want a death wish? You have a death wish?
A bug chaser, I'm not making this up, is, yes, looking for AIDS. A bug chaser is somebody who is trying to get AIDS raped, or cum containing sperm, which we call AIDS juice, in the rectum, therefore being absorbed by the clitoris and causing AIDS.
John McCain is a bug chaser. We will change
Well, he won. Old cancer face is back. I think we've digressed a little.
So is she, are you calling in, Carlo? She's gone.
She's probably trying. I don't know. So just tell me if you're trying and I'm not getting through, because sometimes it's fucked. Now, I have some articles. Oh, there's a very, very important article we have to discuss that Max sent me. Max has been talking about this on Karma Bank as well. It's very scary stuff, and it's related to Nina Levin, my drag queen counterpart. Actually, I have a friend who needs a new drag name. She's an opera star. We need something clever and political. Oh, wait. Carla's calling. Hold on. Oh, hold on. Let me edge it to the conversation. 1 sec, cunt. Hold on. Carla? Hello? God
Put
damn
the
it.
Shelf on.
God damn it. Where did she go? Carla, try again. Try again. I lost you somehow. I don't know what's going on.
Carla, rub your thighs together.
Carla.
Close your eyes. Wish.
A, B, C, D. Carla, there she is. Hold on. Hold on. I can do this. You don't have to do it. I can do this. Okay. I'm going to try and add her now. Hold on, Carla. Just sit tight. It should be ringing. You can ring my bell, bell, bell. I got some hot lips. We can ask her about her boyfriends. Carla, it says it's ringing. I don't hear nothing. Do you see it on your end, Chris?
Yeah, it's ringing.
But you don't hear ringing.
No, I don't hear anything.
That's a fucking pain. I'm glad that they have had 87 different versions of Skype and it still doesn't fucking work. I don't know who scares me the most, Max or Bug Chaser. Whatever. Okay, I want to go back to the article that Max sent me because it's terrifying.
Okay.
And then hopefully Carla will figure out how to get on my scrotum. I mean vaginal lips.
Vaginal juice. What?
Okay,
so what's the article?
Okay, hold on. This is really important. Don't let me slip up. Don't let me forget this. I wish I could forget you. Okay, hold on. Okay, this is from The Guardian. Did you just groan?
No, go ahead.
The Guardian.
Go ahead. No, that was unrelated. Yeah.
I thought you were groaning at my source. Anyway.
No, no, no. Go.
This is according to British intelligence. No, BAE, British Aerospace. What is BAE? British Aerospace? Anyway. Secret papers reveal threats from Saudi prince. This is Guardian UK. Spectre of another 9/11 led Tony Blair to block bribes in Korea, High Court told. Now, if you watch, there's a documentary which I had on Insane Films a while back called The Trap. I think that's the one where it's about basically, all these people in Saudi Arabia and England somebody was bribing each other in order to get these aerospace deals, these weapons deals through. So that part's been sort of established. Anyway, Saudi Arabia's rulers threatened to make it easier for terrorists to attack London unless corruption investigations into their arms deals were halted, according to court documents revealed yesterday. Previously, secret files describe how investigators were told they faced another 7/7 and the loss of British lives on British streets if they pressed on with their inquiries and the Saudis carried out their threat to cut off intelligence. Prince Bandar, the head of Saudi national security and son of the crown prince, was alleged in court to be the man behind the threats to hold back information about suicide bombers and terrorists. He faces accusations that he himself took more than $1 billion in secret pounds, £1 billion, in secret payments from the arms company BAE. Is that private or public, BAE, do you know? Anyone?
I have no idea.
Okay. He was accused in yesterday's High Court hearings of flying to London in December 2K6 and uttering threats which made the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, forced to end the serious fraud office investigation into bribery allegations. I thought we don't accept threats from terrorists, but I guess England does. Okay.
BAE is a private defense contractor, says Straight Chris. Okay. British Aerospace.
The threats halted the fraud inquiry but triggered an international outcry with allegations that Britain had broken the international anti-bribery treaties. Duh. God, you could piss on... you could just threaten to pee on Tony Blair and he would, like, give you the secrets to the Coca-Cola formula. I don't know.
It's not a threat. It's a kind of a bribe for Tony Blair if you peed on him.
How is it a bribe? Oh, okay. Yeah. Lord Justice Moses, sounds black, hearing the civil case with Mr. Justice Sullivan, said the government appeared to have rolled over after the threats. He said one possible view was that it was just as if a gun had been held to the head of the government. Okay, so anyway, so what do you make of this, Chris? How would you summarize this situation where we have the Crown Prince's son, who's also the head of the defense in Saudi, threatening another S-77 attack, which was, for those of you who only think about America and iPods, the equivalent to our 9/11, threatening another one. And this is Saudi Arabia, the same people we flew back when there was a moratorium on all flights.
Well, our money system supports Saudi Arabia. The way it's set up is that we have specific contracts. Our oil industries and oil companies here have specific contracts with Saudi Arabia to buy their oil so long as that they accept American dollars for it. And then those American dollars that they get, they agree to spend on American contractors to build up their infrastructure and build up their company. So it's all part of the same system. So I'm not sure why Saudi Arabia itself would be threatening Britain with this. Maybe there's just some particular part of the deal has it gone through that they want specific money. But it's basically us paying for Saudi Arabia to then threaten Britain. I'm not sure if there's any sort of
one
advocating that. But
the 9/11 and the terrorists, it seems to me there might be some sort of a circle here. Like, okay, yeah. So the 9/11 terrorists were, 90% Saudi or something like that?
Yeah, and, something like that.
And, of course, bin Laden was the son of an extremely wealthy Saudi business developer or whatnot.
Yes.
Now you have Saudi Arabia, which is the physical host, was the physical host of all these terrorists, born and raised these terrorists, and our ally. So it would imply that they have some sort of association or control or possible control over these terrorists, which, of course, nobody in the government that I've seen has even talked about. You know, that's just, you know, something we don't discuss because, of course, Saudi Arabia, the government, doesn't have anything to do with it. They're our friends. But yet at the same time, there seems to be this very sinister circle going back. If the Crown Prince's son is threatening a terrorist attack, when the terrorist attack was admittedly done, wasn't it? 7/7 admittedly Al-Qaeda?
I think so. I remember Bandar Bush, Prince Bandar, was with Bush at the White House after the 9/11 attacks. And I think it was either the eve or the next night smoking cigars, supposedly, on one of the terraces.
So if 7/7 was admittedly Al-Qaeda, I think Al-Qaeda confessed to this, if supposedly. Correct me if I'm wrong. And this Crown Prince's son is threatening another 7/7. That directly implies to me that there is a direct connection between the Saudi government and Al-Qaeda. Direct connection, in other words.
Direct funding,
a switch, a control. I mean, it sounds like it's more than just funding.
And Bush's family and Bush's business interests are intimately connected with the ruling class, for the ruling family of Saudi Arabia, the House of Saud. The threat is not going to harm, even if there is, let's say there is another terrorist attack in Britain. That's never going to affect anyone like Tony Blair or was it Gordon Brown as the current prime minister there. It's not going to affect anyone of any prominence, of any real power. It's going to affect the people who are, you know, happen to be on a plane or happen to be in a subway or happen to be in a bus. The people that have absolutely no power in society anyway, it's gonna affect them directly. But the people at the top, like Tony Blair getting threatened, it's irrelevant. So there has to be some sort of larger game being played here.
Well, that clearly scared the shit out of him.
Right. But why? So why are we hearing about that? I mean, Tony Blair, nothing is ever going to happen bad to somebody like that at that level. I mean, it has to get really extreme for something to ever affect anyone at that degree. So
well, it apparently did. And like Max talks about, I mean, there's... You know, there's people that are being poisoned by nuclear waste in the sovereign country of England, but that's another issue. Let's see.
How do you fight freedom?
Yeah, but this is different. This isn't. This has nothing to do with 9/11 conspiracy. This is a different issue. Conspiracy theory is when you don't have. I don't like conspiracy theory either. Somebody writes, I like what Noam Chomsky said, that this is like people who spend all their time trying to discover who killed JFK. Even if the U.S. government was responsible, what difference does it make? Well, that may be. That's retroactive. This is. I mean, this is serious and important because this is talking about potential terrorist attacks today, and this is talking about relationships with real life people today and finding the truth about something with direct court evidence and possibly stopping future attacks and exposing serious and deep corruption in the UK government and probably the US government is a totally different thing. So I don't think it's fair to confuse this with 9/11 conspiracy theory, which I have no interest in, which is basically saying, oh, the president, you know, had Halliburton and Blackwater smash these planes into the building. Fine for some, not for me.
So let's say that comes out. Let's say that it's proven, like you're saying, that the Saudi government is saying to Al-Qaeda or allowing Al-Qaeda to go and attack Britain. They're using it as a threat against the UK. Let's say all that comes out. Yeah. What happens in this country? What happens in this country as far as everyday people and what they believe about their government and about their system? Because what I've found is despite everything, despite the last 40 years of history, probably because most people are ignorant of it, there's a lot of trust in the overall American system of both government and corporations. And it seems crazy to say that here in this context, but there's a lot of people that just kind of just accept whatever they're told if they think about it at all. So let's say that happens. It's proved that Saudi Arabia is using Al-Qaeda as a weapon against the UK and all that implies. What happens here? What do people here who believe everything?
What happens here is that security gets tighter because all Americans care about is Americans. So all we have to do is screen more phone calls and take away more rights, and then we'll feel safer because, you know, who gives a shit about England? You know, didn't we separate from them anyway? Who cares? What do they do? That queen's annoying. They're so snobby over there. You know, I think all we will do over here is rationalize tighter security. And as far as the truth goes, I mean, it's so easy. I mean, I've been thinking about this lately and trying to think of a way to phrase it. So it's a bit premature of a sort of a thought for me. But the way that as Americans, our entire thought system and reality is so completely controlled by a capitalist corporate welfare system that there's just no truth in it at all. I mean, it's everything in most Americans' head is completely controlled. And even like this Obama, and this is why I can't really get into the Obama-Clinton fight, it's all retarded because, I mean, you could... I find it really difficult to get emotional about, like, for example, a Democratic primary. Like, who cares? I mean, we have this little box of these two people that agree on practically everything. And then you have on the one side McCain, who agrees with those two on practically everything. And then the rest is this, you know, it's all these, you know, fancy After Effects graphics, election 2008, stretching it out for two fucking years while real shit's going on in the world. It's just... It's weird, like everybody's just thinking what they're told to be thought by this electronic machine, this giant corporate machine that's making you buy shit and think that the answer to our economic difficulties is buying more shit. And meanwhile, you're hearing about on the news about this credit collapse, and then they're still sending out things in the mail. It's like, it's just, we are an absolute, literal, retarded nation. And I just don't know how to put it. As a collective society, I think we're just morons.
There's an unwillingness on the part of most Americans, regardless of their political background, to really question any kind of the assumptions, any of their political assumptions, especially anything they hear in what they call the mainstream media. From what I understand, there was always the saying that during the Soviet Union, the people in the Soviet Union, by and large, understood that the media they were getting was all controlled and was lies. Where the difference in America is that Americans actually believe their own propaganda.
That's what the Romanians told me when I talked to them, actually.
Right. Yeah. You're the one who probably said that. So I don't know. I really don't know why. I don't know, maybe it's just because it's just beaten into you from day one that America is different. America is land of freedom and openness and knowledge, and America is right. And it's just maybe it's beaten into you at such a young age in most people's minds that they just cannot break through that wall. They can't see the country for what it is. And
Yeah.
I don't know how you break through
that.
I don't know.
Maybe in some ways that's what's happening now. Maybe the reason people are getting so mad about this stuff, or maybe it's just me, some people are getting mad about it, obviously, or somebody like Obama wouldn't rise from nowhere based on his rhetoric. But the fact is, I think in some ways Bush was a really good thing because he showed us all these horrible things going on in this country and government for years and years. And because he was so blatant about it, so proud about it, and so incredibly stupid, you know, he didn't use smoke and mirrors like Clinton pretending to be this, you know, liberal nice guy. I mean, he just was like, fuck, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know, blow up all the, you know, terrorists and fuck you and axis of evil and rich people get money and you know I'm your you know you're my base and all that crap and fuck the rest of you. I mean, and I think finally it made a lot of Americans wake up.
Maybe some. I don't know. I don't see it as much as you do. I think a lot of people, the response to Bush was they started supporting Ron Paul, which just seemed to be spiraling off into more madness. And I think a lot of people that I've met around here and have spoken to, there was at least a thin layer of gloss in everything that Bush did. And he had major media networks repeating that bullshit 24 hours a day. And they've done nothing but watch that.
Right.
So there is still a group that is totally, you know, and also I don't know. I just, there's something about the Obama, phenomenon or whatever. I don't know. I can't buy it. Maybe it's just because I'm just naturally opposed to anything that gets any kind of.
No. There's some serious issues. Like the guy has some serious corruption issues. He took, you know, he basically took away legislation that would have regulated the nuclear industry because he has very close ties to Exelon, which I believe is the same company that ComEd used to be. It's our electric company. So his close ties with an electric company stopped from regulating certain aspects of the nuclear power industry in Illinois, which directly affects the number of limbs on children. Now, he also has close ties to this guy who's a major slumlord in Chicago. And this has implications. There's a really good article about it on CurrentaWire, the blog, and I have it on my Start Google items on the sidebar of Yeast Radio. But basically, the implications this has for a situation like New Orleans, when Obama's so closely connected with one of these slumlords who basically goes in and tears down huge minority housing projects, you know, in order to sell it to rich developers who are also his friends, so that he can, and then use scattered site housing, saying, well, black people are better off, you know, mixed in with rich communities, when in fact 90% of those people turns out. And you can read this article for the links and everything. 90% of those people that are kicked out of their high rises go to other poverty-stricken neighborhoods, so that the developers can make lots of money. Now, Obama has close ties with these people. This is not Mr. Clean here. Okay, I mean, yeah, I have some hope that the guy will be good. I can't give a shit about which of them, if either of them wins. I just can't, because it's like they both have so much corruption, and in some ways, I think there's also hope for both of them, but. I mean, in Clinton, look at Bicycle Mark's podcast. He did a podcast about Clinton's cabinet. So many of them are the same from this Clinton to that Clinton. You know, yet when I compare, say that there'd be influence from the previous Clinton administration on this one, I'm accused of sexism. Seriously, somebody accused me of being sexist and misogynist for saying that. You know, are you still there, Chris? That's weird. Anyway, I think he's gone. But anyway, I hear you again. But so,
there we go.
But so, you know, so you get. I'm accused of being a sexist when, in fact, you know, all these people from Clinton's administration, Clinton the man, are in Clinton the woman's campaign. In other words, they'll be part of her
cabinet. They'll be the cabinet.
And Bicycle Mark did a podcast about this, and just you wouldn't believe what these people are tied into. Like everything, aside from Walmart to all these, you know, to these same firms that represented horrible, horrible, you know, evil doings by corporations. I mean, I just see people that are fanboys of, or fangirls, fan people of either Hillary or Clinton to the point where they're advocating for them. They tend to be put themselves in a situation where they ignore some really obvious things. And for me to be in a situation where I'm advocating Obama or Clinton like I was a few weeks ago, that means it's like and that's why I stopped endorsing either one, was because I felt like it forced me to ignore the defects of the other's character, which are huge. So get fucked.
You have to just live in that kind of denial of certain facts and just start screaming for your team. I guess I'll vote Democratic because it won't be Republicans, but that's not, there's not a whole lot of, I don't know. It's I can't get enthusiastic about it.
It's really hard to, because there's, I mean, even like McCain, there, I mean, in terms of policy, there's not a whole lot of difference. So now I was talking to my friend who I tried to get to come on the show. I'm not going to mention names, but this is the thing. Like, he was going on and on about why I should, you know, why Hillary's better than Obama. You know, a lot of gay people are into Hillary as opposed to Obama. You know, he gave a lot of reasons. He's very persuasive and all this. But in the end, he said, look, if Obama wins the primary and he loses against McCain, I'm going to be so mad at all, at everyone, I'm going to have to leave the country. Because I'm so mad at all these friends, because he lives in Illinois too. All these friends of mine who voted for Obama, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I hung up the phone and I said, well, but are you publicly supporting Obama? Or, I mean, are you publicly supporting Hillary? He said, oh my God, no. I can't do that. Everybody around here is Obama mania. I can't disagree with that. Publicly, I support Obama. Yet at the same time, he's going to get mad.
Right.
He's going to get so maddened and indignant that he has to leave the country. It's like, how is that any different from Larry Craig? You know what I mean? It's just insane.
Insane. Find a way out.
You know, I think the whole thing is fucking insane. And I just, you know, and meanwhile, the Crown Prince of Saudi's son is threatening terrorist attacks and implying, therefore, a link, direct link to Al-Qaeda. This is a serious issue that we should be talking about on the news, not some fucking After Effects graphics of 2008 with some dumb cunt named Kuri Kurik, or whatever the fuck her name is, asking what kind of nail polish Hillary Clitoris uses. Give me a fucking break.
That's I was at a restaurant yesterday. They had CNN on, and their coverage of the campaign is, it's called Ballot Bowl 08. It has like football graphics and music. That's how the level it's being treated. Now, it's not surprising, but they went to a lot of expense and money to have this thing designed with graphics and music and intros and so forth. It's the level of it is just. Just, I knew it was going to be bad, but I didn't know it was going to be that sickeningly bad. I didn't realize it was going to, you know, be so ridiculous and so insane.
Okay, now JFK Jerry Casey, long name, says, you know, how will America change if no one wants to disagree? Well, I don't know what, I haven't read what you're saying, but if you're talking about disagreeing over Clinton versus Obama, you're disagreeing over two people that agree. I mean, if you're going to disagree, you know, you can talk about ideological differences and take somebody like Ralph Nader or Kucinich and contrast him with somebody like Reagan, you know, and that's an extreme example, but people who actually have differences and not aren't just marketed to be, to have differences. I mean, the whole point of this election is level the playing field, make, you know, during the debates and have the actual people have no ideological differences and let the marketing machines fight the real battle. You know, like what's-his-face pointed out, Bill Maher pointed out, you don't even know Obama's name looking at his fucking podium because it doesn't say his name. It just says change. Look at it. It doesn't say Obama. It just says change.
Right. Giant letters.
That's
change.
Ridiculous. You know, this is not a marketing. The whole so much. We need a, you know, it's like a 12-step program. This country needs a completely a foundational, almost a spiritual change, a psychic change. That just changes our collective psyche because we're that fucked. And if not, well, you know, it's just going to get worse. I mean, it's just going to get worse. I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
well, so how do you do that if where you are, you're saying there's this Obama mania and your friend told you that he's afraid to speak out against Obama because of all the people he's surrounded by. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, within liberal mindsets, the people within the urban areas in the city are the, you know, have the greatest potential to actually bring about some of this change. And if that's the level of if they're just as afraid to step out of line as someone in Alabama is afraid to step out of line against the Republicans, then there's no difference. There's no hope. There's no. It's just the same kind of fear of being outside of the herd. How do we get rid of that mentality? That's how do we do? I don't know. I don't know. I know how difficult it is to be out of the herd in many instances and how lonely and how frustrating it can be. And I don't know how to recommend to somebody to say, you know, work the courage up to do that. I can tell them, but you can't just bring that about in somebody.
Well,
by wishing
I don't know.
It.
I don't know. And this is an interesting case because this friend of mine is an activist and he's been an extremely effective activist and some very, very important cases. The other thing that's very unique about him in making this judgment is he knows Hillary and Obama personally. He knows them personally. He's met them both on several occasions. And I'm not sure about Hillary, but I know for a fact that Obama, I was there. Obama came to one of his dinners to raise money for his organization. So there's some very deep, connections there. I mean, this is Chicago, where, you know, the glue that keeps the city together is corruption. So I don't know. I think that's something where you meet halfway, I guess. I don't fucking know. The problem is it's a lot different when you look at corruption when it's in your own backyard, because then it's just like, oh, well, you know. Oh, the tape just ended. God damn it. Anyway.
The problem is that all three candidates basically have the same position on blood farts. So how do you choose?
Well, you check out the blood fart and see which one has AIDS. I don't know.
All right. I don't have anything else.
B.W. Valentine, 27 viewers wasn't the high today. It went over 100. Thank you.
Red Monkey, most people in this country don't think that. They don't even think that far. They don't think that one vote in November is enough to change this thing. Where's your leading one?
Well, okay. I think we should end. I think I'd like to end. And anyway, that's Chris. Do you care about your promoting your website, considering you don't?
Not right now. I don't care. Not right now.
Do you want to promote anything? Like it matters?
Go to eastradio.com and watch Madge's show every day, 11 a.m.
I want to find something. I want to find something to play, though. So I've been investigating songs, so we'll just do... I did this before. I don't care. This is from my anonymous drag queen friend. She thinks she's going to do this song, and she needs a drag queen name. Of course, it's iTunes, so it's fucking protected, but I've outsmarted them. Anyway, I'm going to hang up with you, Chris. Thanks. Thanks
Bye.
For being on here. Bye. Okay, and I'm going to quit Skype, and I'm going to play my closing song. It's actually Cecilia Bartoli, and it's real fucking good.
E cento tra. Oh,